Hilchos Tzitzis and Arachayim starts in Simen Ches. The other Mishnah Berurah, same edition on page 25. The first thing that Shulchan Aruch mentions that you have to put on the beged of the Tzitzis Bamid when you have to recite the bracha over the Tzitzis Bamid. Some people, they're still in bed, so they have to be careful to stand up when they put on the Arba Kafetz. The bracha also has to be recited by Amida, and the Magen Avraham here postulates a klal that all Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited by Amida. Many poskim are of the opinion that even a Birchas HaMitzvah that's related to a mitzvah which itself could be done by yeshiva should also be recited by Amida. For example, the Kriyas HaMegillah, one can fulfill a mitzvah by yeshiva. The Mishnah says in Megillah explicitly, HaKaris HaMegillah, Omid V'Yoshei, one is yet to the mitzvah, whether he reads the Megillah sitting or standing. So the Magen Avraham and Matzah Shekel and other poskim assume that although the Mikra Megillah can be done by yeshiva, but the bracha recited in advance of the Mikra Megillah, the brachas recited in advance of the Mikra Megillah should be recited by me. Everybody should stand for the brachas and then they can sit for the Mikra Megillah. The Peyashua Megillah disagrees and he says that it's not true. The only time you require that a bracha should be recited by me is if that bracha is related to a mitzvah which has to be fulfilled by me. The bracha has the same status as a mitzvah. But if you have a mitzvah that could be done by yeshiva, as for example Mikra Megillah, then the bracha over the Mikra Megillah can also be recited by yeshiva.
But that's both.
What do you mean both? No, the putting on of the beged should be done by midah. The Shulchan Aruch says the putting on the atifa of the beged should be done by midah.
But the mitzvah is wearing, not
the ground. Right. But the initial putting on of the beged, the Shulchan Aruch should be done by midah. L'chatzila, if a person can't, let's say a person is sick in a hospital bed, they can put on the tzitzis b'yeshiva also.
So I'm saying if the inner part is it's not the rule, you're saying that you can say that you have to do it correctly in the mitzvah, you can say that, and vice versa. So, mitzvah is supposed.
Right, but the bracha is only recited on the maisa mitzvah putting it on. You don't recite the bracha over the continuing to wear the tzitzis. Only recite the bracha over the maisa hatifa. So since we require that the maisa hatifa should be done l'chatzchila, ba'amida, but the end, if you do b'yeshiva, you hear it say also. So therefore you require that the bracha hamitzvah should be done ba'amida as well. There's a famous discussion here in the Magen Avraham on a side topic, why the Mishnah says in Masechta Shchala that a woman could be makrish shchala and recite the bracha on a precious shchala sitting down. So he has the kasha, but if the Shulchan Aruch has a rule that you're supposed to stand when you recite any bracha, so how can the woman sit when she's makrish shchala? The simple answer is that this whole minhag of reciting Birchas HaMitzvah Bamida is post-Mishnaic and post-Talmudic. So many have developed in the days of the Gaonim that they instituted a whole chumra, which mitzvahs you have to do Bamida and which brachas you have to recite Bamida. The days of the Mishnah, the days of the Gemara, they never had it. The Magen Avraham is either assuming that they always had this minig, or he's assuming that you have no right to introduce a minig against what's explicit in the Gemara Lahakeira. The Mishnah says that a woman is permitted to sit when she's makrish challah and recite the bracha over her precious challah. So the Magen Avraham is bothered with the kasha. How can she say the bracha be yeshiva if here in Shulchan Aruch says that all brichas hamitzvah should be recited? So this kicks off a whole literature. Magen Avraham gives an answer. Rabbi Kibbeke says the answer is not so pashut. There's a whole discussion about it. In Sid Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says that l'chatzchila you should do an atifa when you put on the talis. This is all the shayla of l'chatzchila. And the pashtus is that this is a post-Talmudic minhag. This is not the Zman HaMishnah, Zman HaGemara. None of this appears in the Gemara. In Sid Beis, the Mechaber says when you put on your talis, nochan shi'ichas ha'rosh ha'talis. The proper thing is you should cover your head with the talis. What's the issue? Because there is a machlokus in the Rishonim. Expand a little if you have this. There's a sefer called Or HaZeruah. And there's a sefer, HaZeruah was the Rebbe of the Maharam Gutenberg. And then the Or HaZeruah had a son called Rabbi Nachayim, Or HaZeruah. On the Chubas? On the Rambam? I'm not familiar, I don't know. But he has a small sefer called Shadas HaChubas, Maharach Or HaZeruah. That's a different Rav Chaim. It's Rav Chaim Soloveitchik from the, yeah, that's from the 20th century. But this Maharach, as you know, was a long time back, from the 1200s, from the 1100s, a long, long, long time ago. So the Maharach or Zeruah, Rabbi Nachayim, the son of the Zeruah, he's made for a small table, Shabbat HaTshuvas, where he discusses this issue. Let's quote from Shulchan Aruch the issue of the Kitzur. At the time of Maimon HaSinai, when the mitzvahs were given to the Jewish people, so the people who in HaSinai, in the desert there, the way people used to dress is the way Arabs dress in the desert, the way the people in Afghanistan dress. They wear big sheets, and they wear the sheets over their heads. So the question is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Bnei Yisrael the mitzvah of tzitzis, he was speaking about a beggar, that they were wearing a four-cornered beggar that they wear over their head. What if times will change and you'll have a four-cornered beggar that you don't wear over your head, you just wear it over the rest of your body? But there's no atifa al harosh, you don't wear it over the head. Is such a garment also obligated in tzitzis? So do you say, no, the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies to such a type of a garment which is similar to the garment that they wore with Zman Matantar? So most of the Pasuk say that the Torah is speaking for the Jews who live in all the generations, all kinds of garments, even if the practice is that you don't wear the garment over your head. But because there is one opinion who holds that the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies if you wear it over your head. If you don't have a tefillah, there's nothing in tzitzis at all. And we have a klal sofik bracha b'hokah. So b'shas amiras ha-bracha, when you say the bracha, the hisatis b'tzitzis, and you put on the talis, and we are machmir to satisfy that one opinion, that shita yichidah, that holds that you have to have a tefillah. So that's why we have a tefillah b'shas ha-bracha. Later the minute is to have a tefillah b'shas ha-tefillah when a person davens, it's another minute. And then the Pasuk discuss exactly what the minig is. The some say the minig is, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bach that the minig is, Mitchilas HaTzfilo Ad Sofo. The Mishnah Berurah is a couple of dollars on page 26. You should have Atifas HaTalis from the beginning of the Dalet until the very end. Others say no, that you don't have to have it like that. That it's sufficient to be just have the Atifah B'Shah Shemana Esrei and B'Shah Kaddish and Kedusha and Borchu, the Zvam Shabedusha. There's different minhagim over here regarding the Atifah. The Mishnah Berurah at the end of Sukkot and Dalet quotes the Magen Avraham, who quotes the Gemara, that a bachor lo hayah mechaser rosh betalit, afilo hayah talmid chacham. One Gemara says only talmid chachamim do atifa. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. And another Gemara that a bachor, a sinful person, wouldn't do atifa over his head. So that's the question in Achrona, whether the Magen Avraham is right or not. In many communities in Europe, that was the practice, that only the rabbi in the shul wore the talis over his head, the balabatim didn't. The balabatim wore the talis just to their shoulders. And in other communities, they didn't follow this Magen Avraham. They said that that Gemara that says only a talmid chacham wears does an atif, well, that's not talking about talis shal mitzvah b'shas tefillah. They go to some all day long. They used to wear different kind of garments. They used to wear hamburger. The balabatim wore yarmulkes. So a different kind of an atif has nothing to do with talis shal mitzvah. Talis shal mitzvah, even the balabatim would wear over their head. And the same other time regarding the bacher. But the bacher means that a bacher wouldn't wear fancy malbush all day long. But if a single person wears a talis, and some say the proper thing, we should wear it over his head. There's a different minhagim about this.
But there's no really halacha that says that after the brachim you can wear it over your head?
No, it's all minhagim. It's all minhagim. So, you can write in, it's not. Only for Shemana Esrei and Kaddish Kiddush and Baruch. For the Zvam Shabedusha plus Shemana Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah points out, and Shulchan Aruch has a little bit, you have to recite the bracha Oivel Asi Yosam before you're about to do the mitzvah. That means you shouldn't recite the bracha over the other too far in advance, and you shouldn't recite the bracha l'acharas yom after you've already done the mitzvah. So there are three different opinions that the post can quote, three different practices when a person recites the bracha before you put on a talis. So many people used to hold the talis out in front of them. They stretch it out and they say the bracha l'histateh bitzitzitz. Again, there are two in this quote, but they say l'histateh batzitzitz on the histateh bitzitzitz. Mishnah Berurah says that the bracha acharas yom, that the bracha is to be recited bitzitzitz. But the same with the Batzitzis, with the hey idea that you refer to a specific Batzitzis. Sheikh Bisham has done the Sata's Batzitzis, one specific Batzitzis, why? It's not a Batzitzis, but it's not going to find it, so we should wait. That's no Sakhwan himself. So some people usually have the practice that they hold the talis in front of them and then they say with Bracha and the Sata Batzitzis and then they put it behind them and they do the Atifa. Others hold that that's called Oiver the Oiver because if you're holding it here and then you say the Bracha, you put it behind, and you still didn't begin to do the mitzvah, but then you put it on your head, but that's over the earth. So you should really say the bracha before, as you're holding up the talis over your head, before you're about to put it over your head. And others have the practice that they don't do that. They first put the talis over their head, and then they do the atikah, which the Shulchan Aruch described, and take the tzitzis on the right side, put them over the left shoulder, and then as they're about to take apart the atikah and wear the talis the way they're going to wear it normally the rest of the tefillah, Then they say the bracha l'hitzata b'tzitzis. And many pasuk hold like that's already lachar asiyos, because when they put the talis over the head and did the atifa, they're already fulfilling the mitzvah. They're going to say the bracha then before they straighten out the tzitzis of the talis. For the rest of the davening, that's lachar asiyos. Most assume that the proper time to say the bracha is when a person holds the talis over his head before he's about to put it on top of his head.
Doesn't that come from
To see the chutzi hatzitzis. Well, you see the tzitzis later also. It doesn't mean you should see the beggar.
What's the mitzvah?
No, the mitzvah is to wear the garment. And then the idea of wearing the garment is rishmos is the charten. The kavanas hamitzvah is the toelus, the tachlis of the mitzvah is to see the tzitzis and to remember all of the mitzvahs hatzir. That's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Mechaber writes that the proper thing is that you have to wear the beged, the hatzitzis, the abakantis, let's say talis kafi, talis gol, you have to wear it over your garment. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that's in the Mishnah, that's in the Mechaber on page 28 in Sifri Dalet. Dika mitzvah tzitzis l'lavsho al begadav. You should wear the talis kafi on the outside of his garment. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, the Tzachim Kafei quote, that the Bali HaKabbalah, the Ksavim, that means the Kisvi Hari, the Chachmei HaKabbalah say that that's not proper. The Kabbalah, for some reason or another, should wear the garment of the beggar of the tzitzit under your shirt, and only the chutzi tzitzit should be sticking out. Unless the person goes Beinan Achrim, and he's embarrassed to wear the tzitzit out, they're going to laugh at him, so then he can wear the chutzi tzitzit inside all. The Mishnah Berurah says the proper thing is, if the person doesn't go Beinan Achrim, at Yeshiva University, he should wear the tzitzit, the chutzi tzitzit should be hanging out. Rav Yosef has a tshuva about this. He says that it's not, he says, in his Kabbalah, it's not correct. He quotes other Mekubalim that he's supposed to wear both the garment and the chutzi tzitzis covered up. He shouldn't have the chutzi tzitzis sticking out. Again, Rav Yosef, he quotes Tzarish in Kabbalah, will say like that. The Arizal is also Tzarish. But I don't know, somehow they disregard him and they said that it's not right, and I'll see Kabbalah, all the Ashkenazim are doing wrong, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive all the Ashkenazim because they wear the chutzim out of the garment.
I just can't see how that could be, because originally the tzitzis were on the outer garments that they wore, and I can't see that they, you know, were actually trying to hide them.
Never said a second question.
Yeah, leave them also. They don't shut the leaves, not they should see the chutzi tzitzis. I remember years ago somebody was once complaining to Rabbi Soloveitchik that his son-in-law Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is a little too fanatic that he wears his tzitzis out. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that wasn't so fanatic, so he started to scream, "My grandfather wore tzitzis like that, so what's so terrible? They're not trying to wear the beged under his shirt, and then they put the tzitzis hanging up like many Jews do." So he didn't think that Rav Chaim was a fanatic, so he didn't think that his son-in-law was a fanatic either. There's a question how you interpret the pasuk orisim also. The simple pshat is orisim also means you should see the tchil tchelet, and thereby talking from mitzvah Hashem, you should remember all the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Berurah, when he says talking about Vav on page 28, quotes orisim orisim. No, it says no, it's not, it's a kind of psil tchelet. Says in the singular
tzitzit.
That's what it says. Reason or so. Okay. So the simple pshat is good. The simple pshat is the reason also that you should see that still the tefillah. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Omer Chazal. This Chazal does not appear anywhere in the Gemara. This is at Yerushalmi, not in Talmud Bavli. The Omer Chazal Hazor Benitzos Tzitzis Zeicher Beroyah Pnei Hashchina. Because Yerushalmi understands the post of Garisim also, and you will see the Shechina. But it says you should wear tzitzis, and the skut of wearing tzitzis, you will be zeicha to see the Shechina. Whenever that is, or whatever that's supposed to mean, we don't know exactly, but it means in the skut of tzitzis, you'll be right at the Shechina. In Sif Dalet, on page 26, back again, the Mechaber writes that the proper thing is you should have the four corners of the four kutim of the tzitzis, shtayim, the corner of the shtayim, the achron. Today she aimed at two of the mitzvot. The person should be surrounded with mitzvot. Later, the Shulchan Aruch mentions the minhag that people have, that they hold on to the chutzi tzitzis when they recite Kriya Shema. Some people kiss the tzitzis when they recite Kriya Shema. Other times, they put the chutzi tzitzis over their eyes. Spartan has them, they put the chutzi tzitzis over their eyes. They have different minhag for the blind people. Blind people are obligated to wear tzitzis also, even though it says in Rishon also. The Rosh quotes the Sefer Ha'itim, says that a blind man is, even though a blind man is chayv in tzitzis, but if a blind man is chayv in all the mitzvahs, there's one time I hold that a blind man is possibly called a mitzvah, a yudit. And generally speaking, the Rishon don't accept a yudit opinion. Morgan Avraham quotes one Rishon who follows a yudit, we don't pass him. We pass him blind people are chayv in all the mitzvahs, etc. So the Rosh quotes in Hilchos Tzitzis, he quotes the Sefer Ho'itim, one of the earlier Rishon, Balei HaTesis, who says that the blind man, although it's chayv in all the other mitzvahs, is potter from tzitzis and potter from tefillin. It's potter from tzitzis because it says the reason also, and it's potter from tefillin because of another similar potter. And the potter said we don't hold like that, so the Rosh says, we don't hold like the Sefer Ho'itim, it's against the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah. Some say that a blind man shouldn't say a bracha on tefillin, shouldn't say a bracha on tzitzis, to be cautious for the sheep of the Sefer Ho'itim that it's a suffix prophet Ma'akel. And most Achayim say that it's so utterly ridiculous because now in the suffix prophet Ma'akel, he completely, totally ignores the thing. He makes something up from 10 years. So when the Shulchan Aruch has this meaning that the Shas Kriyashma should hold on, the Shas Kriyashma should hold on to the tzitzis, and the Sfarim put the tzitzis on their eyes, and then the Sfarim have, the Sfarim Shachim have Machlek, but a blind man should put the tzitzis on his eyes because nothing for him to see anyway. It looks a little ridiculous that he's going to put on his eyes, and others say, no, it's not ridiculous. Everybody else is putting it by their eyes, so he should also do it. So when the Shulchan Aruch has that, that you hold the tzitzis, the Shas Kriyashma, and kiss it, you put it on your eyes, the Bir HaGra writes that you only hold the front two tzitzis, the Shas Kriyashma. You shouldn't hold the back two tzitzis. That's the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. The meaning is that you hold on to the front two tzitzis at the time that you say Kriyashma. So the Zohar Gaon says that that Lashon is written B'davke because of the Mechaber here on page 26 and says Dawud, that you should wear shtayim upon him, shtayim li'achrov, in order to be mitzvah of the mitzvah. So if you have to hold all four tzitzis in front of Asachar, he won't be mitzvah of the mitzvah. That's how the Bir HaGra points out. Rav Kook's brother, the Rav Kook was the chief rabbi, the old Rabbi Kook had two brothers, but also interesting people. One of them published different essays on Torah aspects, very interesting essays. Not really halacha l'maaseh, but very interesting essays. They published a whole collection of all of that. It's called the Yonim Mechkarim by Shol Chana Kook, I think. So he had one essay about this. What he points out is the Ragro and the Chayder that the Gaonim had that you should wear Davke Shtayim Lefanav Shtayim Liachar, that you shouldn't hold all the tzitzis Lefanav Vavasan. Exactly how should one do this Atifo is a little strange. In the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like the way the Shulchan Aruch has in the Mishnah Berurah described it, it sounds like a person when he puts on the talis for the first time to say the bracha, says the bracha at the tzitzis, and then he puts the beged down over his eyes, around this over here, somewhere before his mouth. You shouldn't hold the top, the bottom of the talis, or the top of the talis, maybe call it. The top end of the talis shouldn't go further than his lips. And then he puts the tzitzis from the right side over his left shoulder. This is very strange. This is the Iker mitzvah tzitzis. It's the Iker way, the way people travel in the desert with a talus over their arms, covering up their nose. It's very strange. Rav Avad Yosef has a tshuva where he quotes Spardish Gdolim who say that it's not correct. And then he quotes the Minkatcha. The guy, one Ashna, the Minkatzaluza, has another sefer. He has a sefer, a running commentary, short, brief, Oris on Orachayim. Hagot, Oris or something. So we should see him a very tiny little sefer. Most of the sefer hardly says anything, but over here he has a big fuss about the Atifa. He just gives it a ton of very little, very little. But over here he gives you a whole fuss about the Atifa. He says that the Atifa that the Ashkenazim do is not right, that they have to do like the Sfardim. They only do the Atifa above their eyes. Above their eyes. And then, when you swing over this left side, the right side of the talus, over the shoulder, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. Above the lips, Shulchan Aruch is not talking about the top of the talus being over here. The top of the talus should be above your eyes. How does a normal person walk in the street covering up his eyes? And when you swing over the right side over here, that's the issue. What part of the face should that cover? That should be above the lips.
Why do you do that? Why
do
they bother to do the tzitzis at all?
Because with the Bichoshish, for the one opinion that the Ikem Mitzvah Tzitzis is only to have a real Atifa. Atifa is where the Arab traveling in the desert. Because that's the way the Torah, when the Torah was given to Har Sinai, that's the way people were traveling in the desert, wearing the robes. We don't accept that opinion. We pass in that the Achai and Tzitzis on any four-corner garment, even if there's no such fancy Atifa. But to satisfy that one far out opinion, so we do the Atifa right after the Brahma.
We're talking about a towel of tzitzis that
we
just
wear. Talking about a big towel.
Not a regular tzitzis.
A regular tzitzis, so some say you should do an Atifa on that also. It depends how big it is. who's more, you can't try to do an atif. The Rambam says the meaning is that on a talis cut you don't say the hisatat tzitzit, you just say on mitzvah tzitzit. Some say you don't even have to be machmal hatchila to do an atif. Say yes, talis cut, you should also try to do an atif.
How
can
you kind of
achieve
it? You just do it for a second,
and
bring it down.
Okay, so what we said is drop, it wasn't a drop of our color, because we didn't have
peace
for that one second.
But
that's
my
example,
that's
why, I mean, what I'm doing, we're looking at anything there. I mean, chukas agayim. Chukas agayim, only applies, let's say, the goyim eat potato chips. It's not chukas agayim. Whenever it makes sense, it's not chukas agayim. So at the time of Matan Torah, that's the way all the people who traveled in the desert wore
Matan Torah. We used to always bring cream in things, and we don't do that anymore because...
No, we don't do it anymore because the Goyim have adopted it to the Shema Avodah Zarah. So if it used to be a universal practice, and then they've been the Avodah to the Shema Avodah Zarah, then we walk away from that. But this has nothing to do with any Avodah Zarah. You can't really say that it's a chukas ha-goyim. It's not that it's unique to any one particular umar lavashim. This is the way people are traveling in the desert. Wear clothes.
Is there a minimum
size? Yes, the Mishnah Berurah refers you, he keeps on referring you to what he writes later about the minimum size of the tzitzit. He says that the garment is not big enough, that simon tezak tells you how big it should be, and then he says if you're a the mitzvah should be a little bigger than that. He gives you the different shiur and how big it should be. The Mishnah Berurah writes to say that if it's not big enough and you say a bracha, that you say is a bracha la'atala, and if you wear it on Shabbos, it's an isur ha'itzur on the chutim, on the strings. Because the only reason why you're committed to wear the strings on Shabbos is because since the garment is chayim, so the strings are not considered a masa. But if you wear a garment that's not tied in tzitzit, because it's too tiny, then the garments themselves constitute a mask. That's the sin of your gimel, Shulchan Aruch says. If a person wears the four-cornered garment, and the tzitzit are kosher, so then he violates hoitzor on the strings of the tzitzit. The strings are kosher, then there's no reason for hoitzor, and the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tzitzit Dalach, even Balayla, even on Friday night, even though Balayla, there is no chiyuv tzitzit, according to many Rishayim, there is no chiyuv tzitzit at all. Shulchan Aruch has a machlokes about that beged yom balayla is chayv in tzitzit. Is it only that pajamas, four-cornered pajamas are patur minat tzitzit? Or even a four-cornered talis, but normally one by yom, if you wear a balayla, it's also patur minat tzitzit. So that's why, let's say, if you put on a big talis on Yom Kippur at night, and then it gives you where everybody wears a talis on Yom Kippur at night, you don't say a bracha if you put it on a balayla. You have to say the bracha mibod yom before shkia. And if you put the talis on balayla, you shouldn't say a bracha because that's a machlokes with Rambam and Rosh, but it suits yom balayla. It's chayv and tzitzit or not. So that's our shayla over here. If you hold that balayla is not chayv tzitzit at all, so when you wear an abakafis on Friday night in the street, should you say that since you're not chayv, according to those who hold that you're not chayv and tzitzit, should you say that the chutei hatzitzit are amasli? So you're violating hoitzor by wearing the chutei hatzitzit. So you say no. Since this is a kosher beged shel tzitzit to be worn by yom, even if you wear balayla, at which time many Rishonim hold that it's not chayv and tzitzit at all, even though it's a beged yom balayla, then maybe it's still not called a machlokes. That's a machlokes. The Rav HaPosek hold that even balayla, even on Friday night, is no reason for hoitzor. But you can make it called all the Rishonim are saying not so. That on Friday night there is an isur hoitzor, even on the chutei hatzitzit.
What's the difference
between matzah? Matzah means any object that you carry. If I wear clothing that's a beged, it's not a violation of hoitzor. If I carry a... Matzah means a burden, a heavy burden. Nem shim aleph ol yud. Usually a master needs, I carry a refrigerator, I carry a piano. But the din is if I carry a book in the street, it's also a master. Whatever I carry, shaloi b'derach levishim, shaloi b'derach tachshitim, is a violation of Kodesh Torah, and that's called a master.
So why don't we take the chance of wearing them on Saturday when
they're living in the Romans, but anybody can be carrying it? Because other person hold that there is a mitzvah. You wear a ksuti on Balai, there is a mitzvah. Those who hold that you're not allowed to wear it at night, they're the minority opinion. Completely the minority of things, so we ignore them completely. The Rishon, the Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg writes that the Maharam Rutenberg never wore tzitzis on Shabbos in the street. Not by night, not in the daytime. He was afraid of Hatzor. What's Hatzor? Hatzor was. The Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg who recorded this practice of his to write different reasons. Then it is having this truth. The nation of Dover, those who are closer to the Maharam Gutenberg than the real reason. Those who are not that close to the Maharam Gutenberg didn't know they gave a different reason. They didn't know the real reason. The real reason was that the Gemara has an obligation to Tatanayim, Rebbe and Hachamim, whether Chalus not there to follow along or not. If you don't have Chalus, then it is, do you fulfill a mitzvah or not? So Rav HaRishonim passed that Chalus is not Makedah for Salom, that we only wear tzitzis without Chalus. So we have an incomplete mitzvah, but we have a psah, and half a mitzvah there is. And the Baal Hamor, Masech HaShabbos, on the Rish, in Perek HaMamad, we can pass this like the opinion of the Tana Rebbe, like Rav Yudah Anasi, that Chalus is Makedah for Salom. If you wear tzitzis without Chalus, then there's no Kima mitzvah whatsoever. And the Ramban right there in the Matan is next to the Baal Hamor, that he heard. Baal Hamor lived in a different country. Baal Hamor lived in Provence, and Ramban lived in Spain. So Ramban writes that he heard that the Baal Hamor never wore tzitzis. He never wore talis, never wore avikans, never wore tzitzis. So he passed his lalocha, but Chalos not ever to talos. But it's a waste of time to put on any tzitzis at all. There's no kima mitzvah whatsoever, not even a partial kima mitzvah. So the Talmidim who were really close to the Maharam Gutenberg heard from him that the reason why he did wear tzitzis on Shabbos was that he was choshish to the opinion of the Baal Hamor, and maybe the din is that chelas makir to salot. But since the time is where nobody has any chelas, in the days of the Gemara they had chelas. The days of the Tanoim and Amaram had chelas. Somehow in the days in the Tzkuf HaTagon the chelas disappeared. Already we live at the period of the Gaonim, the chelas was lost, and that, ever since we haven't been really able to identify what the real chelas is. I've seen a Rebbe in Europe claim that he discovered the chelas, and his opinion wasn't accepted either by the Talmid Chachamim, his contemporaries, nor by the scholars. No one agreed that he was right on the fish that he identified as the chelas.
Why not just maybe, I mean, why does it have to be that the Gaon? Why can't it be anything?
The Gemara said that you're only Yotze if you use the blood from the chalazim fish. If you use any other diet, it's no good.
Why not just today? Not so much as a say like this is the chalaz that they used to use, just as a
zecher. We have a zecher. The Mishnah Berurah says we have a zecher that although usually we're makpid that the beged of the talis should be white, you shouldn't have a talis of any other color, but we have stripes at the edge. So some have black stripes and some have light blue stripes. These are corresponding to the two opinions. What was the color of the tzeilis? Tzeilis is supposed to be the color of the sky, but what time of the day? So Rashi and Chumash says at the end of Parshat the end of Parshat. The end of Shlach. That it's supposed to be the color of the sky at midnight. Midnight the sky is dark, dark blue, like a dark black. And the Rambam says it's supposed to be the color of the sky at noon. A completely different color. That's light blue, and Rashi holds it as dark black. So that's why they're different in Hagim, whether the stripe at the end of the talus is supposed to be black, or the stripe represented the Azechel of Talus, or the stripe at the end of the talus is supposed to be light blue. According to the Rambam's opinion. But outside of that stripe, that's the Zechel of Talus, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Acharon that the proper thing is that you shouldn't have any colors on the talus. Some people today have a new mimic, that they have a red stripe on the end of the talus. It's not my joke. I have seen, and I've told some of the people that they shouldn't do it. It's Kenegah HaMinik. It's clear that this is a minik. See, people don't know what's a minik, what's not a minik. This is on page 33, the Mishnah Berurah makes a fuss about it, and it gives two reasons why the minig is that we don't have any colors on the talus. One reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people don't know Tanakh, that's one. The reason why they don't know Tanakh is because the Rabbein don't know Tanakh. So the Rabbein can't teach what they don't know. They don't know Siddiq of the Rebbe. The Rabbein don't know Siddiq. They can't teach what they don't know. The Rabbein thinks that they know Gemara, so that's why they teach Gemara. Little do they know, they don't know Gemara. The Talmidim don't know Gemara, so nobody knows anything. Come on, no one knows anything. We live in a generation of ignorance. So there is a pasuk in Tanakh that describes Sefer Daniel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daniel has a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an old man with a long white beard and white hair. His hair is like white as fleece. That's what it says there. His hair is the color of Amar Noko. His hair is like a clean wool, Semenoki. And Levushe Kitlak Chiver, and his Malbush is white as snow. It's like Shelig Lavon, Kitlak Chiver. That's a pasuk in Sefer Daniel. So the Midrashim say the Ribbono Shel Olam is a very old man. Yes. See, by the Christians, their God is a very young guy. He's only just born 2,000 years ago, but our God is much older than Yovel. level 5,000 years old. But our God has already white hair. He's an old God. So that's why the minig is, what does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing a white garment that's white as snow? But the letter says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was envisioned by Daniel as wearing a talus. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu's talus, the way he had the vision, was all white, so that's one reason why Al-Pi Kabbalah, we should also wear a white talus, not to wear another garment, another colored garment. And then the reason Al-Pi Halacha that the Mishnah Berurah gives is that there is a question here in the Mechaber and the Ramah, Machloikis, in Sif Hei, on page 33, if the garment is green or the garment is orange, is there a requirement based on the pasuk hakonof min konof that the chutim should be similar to the garment, that the chutim should also be green or the chutim should also be orange? If you have tchelis, some of the strings have to be tchelis. Different opinions how many strings have to be tchelis. We don't have tchelis, forget about that. So just considering the lavan part of the chutim, they say that the string should always be white, but they say no. The string should be whatever color the garment is. If the garment is green, so the string should be green. If the garment is orange, so the string should be orange. So because of that machloket, the meaning is that we don't make the garment any color other than white. So the strings are going to be white, and we solve our problem. That's the reason. Both Al-Pi Nigla and Al-Pi Nigla. It's on page 33 in the Mishnah Berurah. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah mentions, that the only exception to the rule that we allow colors on the garment is that we have the stripes at the end. We have the two stripes at the end. Mother Avram quotes in Maharil that when you wear an avocantus, you should be careful to make sure that the shoulders of the avocantus are very wide, because if they won't be wide enough, we will say that Ati Avira, the high gisa from the vakale, that if the neck opening is very wide and the straps on the side are very thin, so then the opening for the neck and then the open space of the other on the outside of the garment will be levakel, the strap, the shoulder of the beged of the avocantus. What exactly in the world does that mean? That the avira, the empty space of hagis on this side, opening by the neck, and the avira on the outside side, outside of the garment, is levakel, the shoulder of the garment. What exactly, if there is such a gemara in Erevin that has nothing to do with anything over here, no similarity living or dead. So the poskim all assume that the maharil rule is not to be taken literally. All he meant was, that's on page 56, all he meant was, the Mishnah Berurah, the second line from the top right, the Yasak, the fine Shalat, Talos, Kotten, Rechovim, you should make them white, they should unicorim, they should be, look like a beggar, the Yalem Peres beggar, but no shame ritzuas, they shouldn't just be very thin straps, they should look the size of the beggar. But there is no particular size how big it should be. The Mishnah Berurah writes, that's the way they are currently perfect in Maharil. The Chazon Ish reinterpreted the Maharil. He said the Maharil is to be taken literally. There are many passages in the Maharil that were obscure, because the Sefer Maharil was written by a Talmud. He didn't write it himself. The Achrayim assumed that the Talmud didn't write it well. So there are many passages that were obscure and that were reinterpreted by Achrayim, and then the Chazon Ish and others say, no, that the Maharil, the Talmud meant what he wrote, that the Maharil was really alluding to a Shittas HaRambam or Shittas HaGaonim or something. The old Shittas HaRishon that we're not that familiar with. So here, Chazon Ish claims that the Maharil is following the opinion of other, the Rambam and other Rishon, who say that there is such a din on a beggar. Based on the Gemara here, that there is such a din, that if the shoulder is narrower, the shoulder on either side of the avocantus is narrower than the neck opening, then such a beggar is not tied into it. Then the front of the beggar is not included for the back of the beggar, even though, let's say, the shoulder is 4 inches wide, but the opening for the neck is 5 inches wide.
One shoulder or both to begin with?
Each shoulder. If
this is
4 inches.
4 to 6 inches 4.
Right.
So this separated is not big enough. But if you're taking both shoulders.
Right. So that's the simple reading of the Maharil, or that's not good. So that right and say, no, that's not what the Maharil meant. He meant it was only 1 inch wide, so it looks like a strap, it doesn't look like a garment. But if it's 4 inches wide, then it's okay, even though the opening is 5 inches wide. And Chazon Ish says, no, that we should really read the Maharil the way it reads. Well, you have to reinterpret the Maharil meant kipshuto. Based on his interpretation, based on the Rambam and the Gaon's interpretation of the Gemara and Erevin, that if the neck opening is wider than the shoulder on the side, so that you're not getting to the mitzvah of tzitzit for that. So based on this Chazon Ish, who interpreted the Maharil kipshuto, that many people today are makpid, they're careful never to say bracha on another country. Because very often the neck opening is much wider than the than the shoulder. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that if you wear a talus, they should say the bracha on the talus, and Pater have in mind that the bracha on the Tzatzei B'tzitzis comes also the bracha that you should have said on the Aruch talus.
Most of the
time,
the neck is wider than the shoulder.
The Machaber writes, and the Mishnah Berurah stresses this, that a person who only wears a talus around his neck and it doesn't cover any part of the body doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. Let's say I have a four-cornered tie, or I have a four-cornered scarf, or anything that I only wear around the neck is not five and six at all. It's only considered a garment to become a cleave and six. It's at least a shatnas, let's say. If the tie has kilani, or the scarf has shatnas, then I'm not allowed to wear it. But with respect to the chi of tzitzit, there's only an obligation of tzitzit that the cup is a significant amount of the body, a significant portion of the body. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that many acronyms say that the proper thing is that every time you put on the tzitzit, you should put it on in the same way as the cup and the test we have on page 26. You should always be careful that the top of the baggage should be in the same place. Because the Gemara, the Gemara has a comment that when they built the Mishkan, the Keresh, those boards of wood, Shazafa, when he mounted the Tzafon, those boards of wood that were originally put in the Tzafon on the Mishkan, always have the supposed to be continued to be put in the Tzafon. They have no right to be mevatelim from their Chashuva place and put them in Dorum, put them in some other part of the Mishkan. So similar to that, some folks and some Achronim have a practice that they're always makbid. That's why you have on a talus, it has the piece on top to know where the top of the talus is, in order that the top of the talus should always be worn on top. But on other conferences, many times people are not makbid. On the talus coat that you wear under your shirt, many times they're not makbid. But some Achronim said that you should always be makbid about that. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Arizal was not makbid about that. Why was Arizal not makbid? But Achronim explained, the Chassidus has a tshuva about this, another thing. In the Mishkan, the Keresh that was placed in the Tzafon had more hashivas than the Dorom. Because the Tzafon is the right-hand side of the Adar, we bring more Kachikachi. You can't bring Kachikachi in the Dorom, the left-hand side of the Beit HaMikdash. Left-hand side of the Adar. Even with the Yevit, if you bring a Kachikachi in Dorom, you do the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the Dham, Dorom, you can talk. The Tzafon is more Hashiv than Dorom. So that's why the Yerushalmi has a club based on the Pasuk, the Chumash, Keresh, Shezafon, the Hidasim, but Tzafon, Lo Yinasein Badorom. That if it has a tzus to be placed in Tzafon, so you have to continue to put it in Tzafon, you're not permitted to take away its tzus from it. But over here by the tzitzit, why should I assume that the beged, that part of the beged that's in front is mochashav, and that part of the beged that's in the back, and that part of the beged that's in the back is mochashav, and that part of the beged in the front? The whole beged of the tzitzit is equally choshav, equally non-choshav. There's nothing that's mochashav than anything. So that's why the Arizal is not mastered about. Not that it doesn't apply in this case. He looks through the Mishnah Berurah here in the Hilchos Tzitzis. He quotes almost on every page. He quotes in the Sefer Arsat Achayim. That's just for your information. That's the Sefer written by the Malbim, who was a very great goyim in his generation. The Malbim was known as a great goyim, a great poysik, not just on Tanakh. He wrote his Biurim on Tanakh. He was known as one of the great goyim in Hazor. As Avkamet and Avkman Sefer on the Sefer. The story goes that he went to Presburg to get a Haskamah from Hassan Sefer, and he was there for Shabbat, and Hassan Sefer was very impressed by him. He was very impressed by his learning. And then after Shabbat Shudas, he went back to Shul, and it was dark. They had no electric lights, and they had no candles that burned all day long. So it was dark on Saturday night, and the first Shabbat was dark, and everybody came to Shul for Dali Mar. So the whole Shabbat, Malbim was sitting right next to a young man. I think he was in his teens. He was sitting right next to the Chassam Sefer the whole time. So on Mitzvah Shabbos, by mistake, before Baruch Hu, when there were no lights, so by mistake, he sat down in the Chassam Sefer's seat. So one of the Gavoyim wanted to go over and tell him, young man, you're sitting in the rabbi's seat, you have to get up. So the Chassam Sefer said, no, let him stay there. He's thinking and learning. He's a little absent-minded. He must be thinking, I didn't realize that he was sitting in my seat. So when the Chassam Sefer said that, let him stay there. He's a Dhamma Pham, thinking, learning. So the Malbim realized that he sat in the rabbi's seat, so he got up and he moved over. And then he felt that this was the Kilas Kacham, that the Sansleva had cursed him, because he said, let him stay there. He felt that that was a curse, that he should stay on that level of learning that he was at. Supposedly, he said that from that time on, he never really said any great chidushim and learning in halacha. From that time on, he only did easy things like Tanakh. That's why we only have the Malbim on Tanakh. And the Art of Sachaim was never completed. You only have the first 40 simanim of Shulchan Aruch. One has on Tzitzis and Tzillim. And it doesn't go any further. Anyway, that's the sefer that the Mishnah Berurah keeps on quoting. And every other page here quotes from the Art of Sachaim. It's available, reprinted it. It's available all over. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gemara that the obligation to have Tzitzis only applies on a garment, on a four-corner garment that you're wearing. If you have a four-corner garment that sits in the drawer, that's not chayiv in tzitzis. That's what the Gemara calls clay kufsa. The godim that sit in the drawer. The kufsa is the drawer. But clay kufsa is a machlokes in the Gemara, whether the chayavim is tzitzis or not. The Gemara says the issue is whether tzitzis is chayiv as gazra or chayiv as mona. If it's a chayiv as habegev, chayiv as mona, then you chayiv in tzitzis even if it's sitting in the drawer. If you say chayiv as gazra, it only means that you chayiv in tzitzis at the time that you're wearing it. How do we pask it? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tzitzis in Yevamos and the Tzitzis in Menachos that we pass on that Tzitzis is chayiv as gazra. The only time there's an obligation to wear to put on Tzitzis on the garment is when the person is wearing the garment. That's how we pass it. Chayiv as gazra. Tzitzis is not chayiv as
gazra.
Chayiv as mona. Later on, clothing. So the doctor doesn't give you sometimes a piece of paper rolled up and something. So we started making if a person removes the talis in order to go to the bathroom and then he's going to put his talis on a minute later. So you have to say a new drop when he puts it on a second time. So the Chabad says, yes, Torah locks or Levarev, Shechazer and Mesatah's drug, has to be added another drop when he puts on the talis again. And the Ramah says that we don't pass time together. You don't recite a new drop unless you took it off for a long time. Let's say a person took off his Abu Kampis. And then he takes he goes to the gym, and then he plays baseball, and then he takes a shower, and it takes an hour and a half, and then he puts back on the towel. Puts back on the towel. Of course he says it's wrong. It took so long. Now, let's say somebody needs an aliyah. Somebody's getting an aliyah. A single guy doesn't have a towel. So I lend my towel. Then the next guy gets an aliyah, doesn't have a towel. Next guy. All the people get aliyahs, and I get back my towel. That's an hour later. Of course I said drop them and I put the towels back on. It took half an hour. But if only one person needed my towels for an aliyah and he gives it back 3 minutes later, then it isn't that you don't have to read any towels like that anymore, then you don't have to say another drop. The Mishnah Berurah said that we distinguish between a towel cut and a towel drop. The nikar at the end, you don't have to take off the tzitzis when you go to the bathroom. Tefillin, then you have to take off because it's Tashmish Kedusha. But tzitzis is not a Tashmish Nitzu, so you don't have to take it off. So the minute is, Tefillin, if you took off the tefillin to go to the bathroom and then you come back, then the Mishnah Berurah says you do say a drop because it's forbidden to wear the tefillin when you're in the bathroom. But the towel is, since nikar at the end, you can really wear the towel when you go into the bathroom. The only thing is, the minute is that since we only use the talus cover for tefillah, so we don't wear it in the bathroom, it says even a kippur. You know, a kippur is not even a mitzvah for a minute. If it's the kippur that we wear on your kippur, so when Rosh Hashanah is the yuchat for davening, unless that person has a garter, somebody davens with a garter, he only uses the garter for davening. He has a separate yarmulke when he davens all day long, he wears a different yarmulke, and a separate, and he has a separate beggar, that's something the yuchat for davening, so it's not proper to wear that into the bed. But this is not a real din, so that's why when he comes back out of the deck and puts back on the talus, he doesn't recite another brahma, because if he really wanted to, he could have worn the talus into the deck. It's only a midas chasidus that we don't wear into the deck. So even though we talk to like the Ramah and teach you Dalit, that if you take off the talus and put it back on soon to take it off, you don't recite another drachma. What if the talus fell off? If it says, well, talus fell off. Not that he took it off all God could put it back on. It fell off. But then you do have to say another drachma. That's only provided that the entire talus fell off. Fell on the floor, or it's either the other, but it's not on his roof. What happens if the talus started to slip off, and still part of the talus is on his body? Even a robe of the talus, not for Rudo, as long as neither of the talus is still on Hakul, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that he does not have to say another talus. Many Akronim say that the Zman Azeh, that the only way the talus to Shas Tfilo, you know, Shlom Zaman Arbat has this mistake, and others say, it's not praying. And the Ararik, another earlier person from Europe, they said, and since it's not as if we only wear the talus for Shas Tilo, so when we put on the talus in the beginning of davening, we have in mind that it should stay on until the end of the davening, until the length, but after the davening is over. So even if the talus falls off, when you put it back on, you wouldn't have to say another bracha. If the Shulchan Aruch says it falls off, you have to say another bracha. That goes as mana Shulchan Aruch, that they used to wear the talus all day long, longer. But by Yasa, the only way to Shas Tilo, so then you would not have to say another bracha. The last tip in Simon Fest, if you Zion says that the person wears a four cornered garment and he doesn't have tzitzit on it, I raise a beat on the mitzvah tzitzit. He has violated the mitzvah tzitzit. But that's only to wear the four cornered garment and he doesn't have any tzitzit placed in it. What if he doesn't even wear the garment? A person walks around all day, he doesn't bother to wear a four cornered garment. And then he hasn't been involved in the mitzvah tzitzit. He's not a cleaving tzitzit. You're not pleased to get a four cornered garment if you're wearing a four cornered garment. Then you're mechuyev to put on tzitzit. And if you didn't put on tzitzit, then you're about to miss. But if you don't have a four cornered garment, then you're not mechuyev. The Rishon just points out, Tosfos points out, that the proper thing is that in Yerei Shamayim, you should go buy yourself a four cornered garment in order to obligate yourself to the mitzvah of tzitzit. As you find in the end of the first parak in Soto, that Moshe Rabbeinu desired, the Talmud says, Moshe Rabbeinu desired very much to enter into Eretz Yisrael. But Hanan al Hashem Reisei Hileimor, Parshas Vashanim, he was pleading with the Kaddish Baruch Hu so much that he wants to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asked, why did he want to enter Eretz Yisrael? To travel tour. So that was the period of the Bami Tuba. He wanted to enjoy the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to swim in the Yam HaMelech. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want so much? He wanted to go to the Hilton or whatever, to the Carlton. What did he want to go there? So the Gemara says, no, he desired very much to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzliyas Bar. So the Rishon says, but if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not mechuyev. So what's the prophecy? See that Tzadikim always desire to put themselves into situations where they will be obligated to fulfill more mitzvahs. That's why a person who does something should go out of his way in order to buy a four corner garment in order to fulfill the mitzvah.
Because we said that it's
Mitzvah
is not a gala, so let's say you're wearing the tzitzis, and you notice, and you're also wearing a faded dal kapos, you don't have to put on the tzitzis on the dal kapos faded.
Usually
the most often
you have two garments, that each one has four corners, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that each garment has to have two.
Each one?
Right. Each garment, the Shulchan Aruch tells without a filter, each garment that you wear has to have two.
So what about...
There's one prominent rabbi who wears, I think, 25.
Yeah. Why
would that be? First time I saw him, I thought he was a hunchback. Then people started to wear. They said, no, you don't know why. He wears it 25 other times.
Why?
I don't know. He wants to get 25 mitzvahs instead of only one mitzvah.
Cool.
Big tzaddik.
So, when we said that the four corners are vague, now, what is that relation? I don't even know what to ask. Sometimes on suits, in the back it's like flat.
Right, so the Shulchan Aruch says that if the flap goes up more than row of the jacket,
so
which usually it doesn't,
so on a normal
shoe,
it doesn't go down.
There's a lot of
top coat, you know, the long ones.
Right, so if it goes up more than row, then it's tight and tight. If it goes up less than row,
the P jacket, or a while back, a navy coat, and
then they were more fine. If it goes up row, then it's tight and tight. If it goes up mute, then it's not tight and tight. If it goes up exactly not on up, so then it's tight and soft. You put on the tits and believe you're up, and you shouldn't wear such tits in the street. On Shabbos, it's a Shabbos for yourself. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Yad Tzitzit. That's all based on the Shulchan Aruch. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why in Europe it's on. In America also, the practice is that those rabbanim who wear these Prince Alberts, who sometimes it's hard to determine whether the slit in the back goes up or not, so they have two corners in the front and two corners in the back, so usually you'll see they have a very strange phenomenon that they'll have three will be pointed and one will be round. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if one of the corners is round, then you're not kaivim tzitzis. You have to have four corners that have a point. So that's how many of these people who wear kapapas will insist that one of the corners should be round. It's not symmetrical. Take a look next time and see that the people with the kapapas, three corners are pointed and one corner is round. No, they're not being kaivim tzitzis. Shulchan Aruch has on page 33, quoting from the Gemara, the chutei hatzitzis, the strings. If you're wearing a silk garment, so you can have strings made of silk. But if you're wearing a woolen garment, you cannot have strings made of silk to potter a woolen garment. Strings made of wool are good even if the garment is silk. If the strings are made either of wool or of linen, then they're good for any kind of a garment. But if the string is made of silk or cotton or any other type of material, then it's only good for that material garment. It's based on Sukkim the Gemara has. There is a Machlokes on page 32, see if I was going to Chavan Ramah, based on the Machlokes in the Gemara, and according to Hashem Haratoskin, is the obligation to wear tzitzis on the four corner garment only biblical, but only in that if the beggar is either tzemer or pishtim. What if it's a silk or a wool or a cotton garment? Maybe the whole tzitzis is not with the Rabbana? Or should you say no? That even on all Shaminim, even on other types of material, the thief to wear tzitzis is also in that. So that's the machloek. That's why the quote we all say, the prophet thing is that if a person wants to put himself into a situation where he will certainly be fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa tzitzis, he should go out of his way to get a woolen garment. He shouldn't wear a cotton garment, he shouldn't wear some other material, because then it may only be a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Machloek. Machloek is what is d'oraisa d'rabbanan.
Is that why a lot of people come in and you don't want the name?
Well, then it's not woolen, it's not linen.
It's not like it's a shorty derabana.
Right, it's only some that obligation only be derabana. But then, furthermore, if the netting has big enough holes, the blouse is not a beggar. It's just a bunch of strings, it's not a beggar. The strings have to be close to each other. Is there any garment that's not even tied in pieces in derabana? Is there such a garment that's not even tied in pieces in derabana? On page 34, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Sif Dalev, that a leather garment, even if it has four corners, is not chayim tzitzis. Beged shel or. Why is a beged shel or not chayim tzitzis? So the post can explain, because it doesn't have shed to the air, it doesn't have a warp and a woof. It doesn't go into, you don't have anything that goes in two directions. So that's why the case of Frank writes in his Shubas, it's printed in the Sefer Hartzvi, that if you have a nylon garment, there are two types of nylon garments. Nylon is made from, is manufactured synthetically. So there are two types of nylon garments. Sometimes they take the raw material and they make it into a sheet of nylon. And sometimes they take the raw material and they make it into nylon thread. Then they take the thread and they weave it and they make it into a beged. So Teresa Frank says it depends. If they made nylon thread and they took the thread and they made a garment out of it with a chassis and an air and with a warp and a warp, then it would be chayim tzitzis like any other beggar. Either chayim tzitzis or chayim rabbon, depending on the argument. On page 32, between the chayim and rama, whether shamin is other types of material, other than general tissue, is chayim tzitzis or chayim rabbon. But if they took the raw material and they made a sheet of nylon, they just cut it to size, then it, since it doesn't have a warp and a warp, it's just one big sheet, that's the way it came. Doesn't have a shes in there, so it's not chayim tzitzis at all. And Moshe Feinstein, along the same line of thinking, goes one step further in his Sefer Ignis Moshe, and he writes that that even if they made the nylon into thread, and they took the thread and they made a shes in an air out of it, and they wove a garment out of it, it's also not chayim tzitzis, period, not chayim tzitzis even the rabbanan, because since nylon is such material that you could have made a sheet of nylon the way it grows. You could have manufactured it as a sheet rather than make it into threads. And then leave the threads, and even if you make it into threads, he thinks that it's still competency. It just says if you have a mixture of nylon with cotton, which is often the case, sometimes they sell the garment and you look on the label, so it'll say 40% cotton and 60% nylon. 40% nylon, 60% cotton. I'm not sure right, based on Mishnayos and Kilayim, but that's what it depends on. Is it more than robe of cotton, is it more than robe of nylon? Whatever the rope is kovei the min. If it's more than 50% of cotton, then the whole beggar is labeled as a beggar of cotton. The beggar of cotton is signed to the minatorium of the rabbonim. But if the rope of the material that is made from more than 50% is the nylon, then he has his chiddush. And Rashi says that even if the nylon was manufactured as threads, and then the threads were used to make a shetin and there, he's going to be still not chiddush. Garments that are made from linen, the Gemara says the Chachamim forbid us from putting in tzitzis. When I told you, I have to put in tzitzis. And the Rabban, they forbid you to put in tzitzis because part of the tzitzis has to be tailors and part has to be lavan. And the tailors has to be not only dark blue, but it has to be from the material of wool. And wool, that woolen kutin that you're going to tie onto a linen garment, it's going to count as some kelayim. If you have tzitzis with chelos and lavan and you make kelayim, that's a mitzvah. It's the more kelayim mitzvahs that say that it's a mitzvah loisaseh. It's permissible and it's you're obligated to do. But what happens if the person is going to make pasul with tzitzis, but then he's going to make chelos that won't be kosher, then he'll be violating kelayim unnecessarily. Because of the hashash in it, and in the days of the Tanaim, there were a lot of fakers, as the Zman Hazeh, who were selling Tcheles dye that wasn't really kosher for the mitzvah. So a lot of people would be putting in Tcheles, they'd be putting in Chutei and Tzemer and a Begish of Pishton, and the Tcheles wouldn't be kosher for the mitzvah. They had purchased possible Tcheles from a Shalosh, from a faker. So that's what the Chacham said, that you're not allowed to put in Tzitzis at all in a Begish of Pishton. There's a Machlokes in the Rishon, but that Zera the Rabbanon still applies to Zmanazah. So the Chaber at the end of Siman in the test, page 33 quotes that even though there is some who hold that the Gzera the Rabban still applies, it's forbidden to put in tzitzis in a Begit Shal Tishtan. But we follow the opinion of the Rosh that the Gzera the Rabban fell away. Since we don't observe the whole, we don't have any Chelus to manage it. So the whole Chashash that the Chachamim were afraid of doesn't apply. There's nothing to worry about. That's why the Manazem, Mikir Adin, and you are have to put in tzitzis even in a Begit Shal Tishtan, but the Yireh Shamayim, the Shulchan Aruch says, a Rosh Hashanah should avoid the whole issue. He should never wear a garment, a four-corner garment that's made of linen.
I understand what the issue is in the first place. This is without
that,
why was it
wrong? If you wear this without chelus, then you're not allowed to put in chutei tzemer in a bag of shafishtam because you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis by putting in all chutei tishtam. The only time you
mean the chelus has to be
right. Chelus has to be a color and it has to be a material. It has to be the color of blue, either dark blue or light blue, and it has to be the material of tzemer. So if you're putting in chelus that's kosher, then you say mitzvot aseh, very chol mitzvot aseh. But if chelus is possible, chelus, then you're just violating the issue of kelayim on that tzemer. That's a good kashya to Gemara at that kashya. How can a chacham yoyke dar menater? So the Gemara says that this is b'shei v'yaltas. They tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah of the person says, how is the shei v'yaltas? But he puts on the garment. Puts on the garment is the kum v'yaseh. The person gives an answer on that. And he's on the daftarik. On the face. The top place is on the daftarik on the face. If the question is exactly what the place is in, the whole literature, and we show you in the Vortai there, and the Beseis of Simon Yud Gimel, and the Shabbos Dari, the whole literature exactly what the place is in. Okay, good. So very good question. In Siman Yud Aleph on page 37, we raise it to the Yud around 2 or 3. Yud Aleph. The Shulchanah quotes from the Gemara that the strings in the tzitzis have to be tzvuyim lishmon, have to be converted from wool into a string l'shem mitzvah. So if a non-Jew does the job, if a non-Jew makes it into a string, so that's not good. Talmud HaNafi is not good because whatever Nafi does is not considered asir lishmon. What if a woman does it? What if a woman does it? So this is a machlek, it's not a machlek. What's the issue? In a later sin, in the Tzitzis of Shulchan Aruch, that the tying in of the tzitzis, when you tie the tzitzis to the beggar, that has to be done with Shmo. That's the sin of Yud Dalet on page 50. That the Jew who ties in the tzitzis on the garment has to tie it with Shmo. A lot of tzitzis are not with Shmo, so the Rambam holds it together, it's kosher. and Tosfos hold that even the Yevid it's no good. Generally speaking, we follow the Tosfos that if you tie in Shlo Lishma it's no good. And the doing of Lishma is not only that you have to think Lishma, the Shulchan quotes the Chumra from the Rishon that you have to say that I'm doing this Lishma. If you just thought Lishma, you didn't say so. So there are opinions quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that b'riyevet it wouldn't be good. It's only for Lishma if you have the Machshava expressed the Dibur.
So, the only time
Lishma
or just making
the
actual
shrimp? Oh, that's what we're going to get to, next step. Before you get to that though, on page 51, the Mishnah Berurah, on both sides, Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Alaka raises an issue. This statement that I'm going to make the Tzitzis Lishma, when do you make that announcement? Do you make that announcement before you pull the string through the hole? Or if you pull the string through the hole before you tie it, even if it's time, you pull it through the hole, that doesn't matter. A guy can do that, a carpenter can do that. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I remember our salvation, when we learned the Tzitzis, always kept on saying, when we learned the Gemara, he always said, he doesn't think it matters who pulls it through the hole. Pulling through the hole doesn't count, that's nothing. The Iker is the time of the string. Mishnah Berurah says that even though that's what it should have been, he shows that Tzitzis holds not so. He points out the Farish that Tzitzis and other carpenters say on page 51 that the pulling through the hole also has to be done with Shema, not just the tying of the knot. So the question is, all right, but that has to be done with Shema, and what about how far back do you have to make the Shema? What about the converting of the wool into thread? So that's the Machlekes and Nigmar, Machlekes Rav Shmua, and the Shulchan Aruch says that too has to be done with Shema. But now the Shulchan Aruch says, what if a woman pulls it through the hole? Is that kosher or not? So the Rabbi Natan's opinion is that it's no good, and the other Rishonim say that it is good. Machloekes Rabbi Natan says it's beaten on that man here in the bait. So the Rambam on page 50 says that we're machmir. The Machaber says that he should shave a lot of tzitzis, like all the Bali, all the Rishonim. The Rambam says that we're machmir, but the Rabbi Natan's opinion is that a woman should not tie the tzitzis through the gong. So the question is, what about a woman doing the work to convert the wool into string? I imagine there too that a woman shouldn't do it. So most of the Achraim are makel on that. That the Rabbi Natan would never even say over there. The Rabbi Natan's opinion only applies to the Kshiras Kutiyah, since it doesn't apply at all to the Tzviya, to making it into a string. And there are some Achraim are machma on that. And on the market they sell two types of tzitzis. Some tzitzis cost 10 times as much as others. Right, pulling through is the same as tying. So since the Rambam is machmir that a woman shouldn't tie, so a woman shouldn't pull through either. But the question is, a goy can't do it, that's the Farishi Gemara. You can't allow a goy to tie the tzitzis. That's just nothing to discuss. But that's the machloike, is the Rambam and other Rishonim, why it's no good. Is it because you need the Shema and a goy can't create the Shema? Is it because of a separate there is a cause? That was B'nai Yisod, B'nai Yisod, B'nai Yisod. But the Maitre, if a goy does it, it's no good. If an Isha does, that's the machloike, is the Rabbi Nitan and the other Rishonim. And the Machaber says, well, how can the Rambam says that we'll mach her? You shouldn't let a woman pull through the string through the hole or tie the knots. And regarding a woman doing the shizira, a woman doing the tviya, converting the wool into string, that's a machlokes in Achronim. Most Achronim are makel and some are machna. So the more expensive tzitzis has on the label, it says that it's done by men, Maitre Dvorim. And the less expensive tzitzis that cost much, much less, cost around 5 or 10 times more. Remember years ago, that used to cost $1 and that cost $10. I'm sure all the prices shifted. I'm sure that cost around $5, that cost around $15, I don't know. It's much more expensive. You have to have Dafke men making the ahidu, to have Dafke men make the DSS6s. So if those that are done by men, it says in the series on the label that it's made by men. You have to have shizurim also. Shizurim means that the strings of the tzitzis have to be twined. This was a big machlokes in Rishayim, and the Rabbi Natan writes in his introduction, Rabbi Natan wrote a book, not this week, he wrote a book a long time ago, called the Sefer HaYosher. He writes in the introduction to the Sefer that what prompted him, his friends, the other Baal HaTais, his friends prompted him to write a book because of the issue of the shizurim, whether the strings of the tzitzis have to be shizurim. He said, Rabbi Natan said, based on Igmar, the last parak in Erevin, that the Kuti HaTzitzis have to be Shizurim. Against the Rambam and against the other Rishayim who said that there is no such requirement, but the strings of the Tzitzis do not have to be Shizurim. Shizurim means that it's twined. Twine means that you have two strings that are tied together to make one. All of our strings. Think Ruba de Ruba, the strings of the Tzitzis are Shizurim. But the Shulchan Aruch says that it has to be Shizurim. What they don't all have is that they're not all Kafel Shmoinah. That's already a discussion. The Arkas HaKayim and Tim Yudalis, this base quotes already all the Rishayim, all the sources for this. And he documents the Chumrah that you should, why should you require that the tzitzis should be kafel shmoina? that you should have eight strings that are twined together, and each and every one string you should have eight. That's a very big kumar. I've been telling that I said so far, you just said shizurim. You should have to have a minimum. These strings should be at least two strings tied, twined together. And the Rasam Rishon who I'm after, based on Sukkim that I learned about the shizurim by the Putei Atzitzis from some of the Yirios in the Mishkan that were Kapol Shmoina, but we require by the Tzitzis also that it should be Kapol Shmoina. That's already kumar. How long do the strings have to be? So the Gemara says that when you have your tzitzis, it should be divided one third and two thirds. The yoke of the tzitzis is that one third should be wound around. We have four sections that are wound around, 7, 8, 11, 13. That's in Hukim, late in Hukim, not Hukim. If you want to have different numbers, each time you wind something around, it's called a chulia. You have two knots, then you wind around, and you have another two knots. You have to have a minimum of three times wound around. So we have how many years? So we have four chulias, and each chulia has more than three times wound around. You have 7, 8, 11, 13. Hogi matri, shem echad. So if you want, you can have any other number of chesheds. So the Gemara says the yofi of the tzitzis is that one third of the sum total is chulias, and one that's called gedil, wound around, and two thirds of the length of the whole thing is tzil. Tzil means the strings that are loose and that are flying in the air. So the Gemara says that the chutei atzitzis should be 4 agudlin long. 4 agudlin is this. 4 inches, maximum 4 inches. So there's a machlekes and rishayim. What does that mean? It should be 4 inches long. So the way we paskin is that the top section, this is the top line on page 40. The top section, the top one third should be 4 agudlin, and that's only one third. So then the bottom, which is two thirds, twice as big, should be 8 agudlin. 8 agudlin. That was the sum total of Yud Beis Hagudlin of 12. And there's another opinion that we don't pass in life, that the sum total of the whole tzitzis from the top to the bottom is 4 agudlin, and one third of that is a very teeny weeny tzitzis, a baby sized tzitzis, and one third of that should be gedil, and two thirds of that should be psil. This is very tiny. So the Shulchan Aruch says we don't pass on that. If the tzitzis rip, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there is a din, even though if you would have put it on lahatchila short tzitzis, it wouldn't be good. But if you put it on, it was kosher b'shas nais, then it rips later. That's called gardume tzitzis, and gardume tzitzis is kosher. No, with the following requirements. This is on page 46 and 47. The Rabbi Nitzan, we're chayish for the Rabbi Nitzan, he says like this. The Rambam says, the Nogin ki Rabbi Nitzan, on page 47. He says that you have to have, we have four long strings that we tie together and make eight half strings out. So we have eight strings in the tzitzis. Rabbi Nitzan says you have to have two of the long strings should remain bishleimus, and they shouldn't be ripped less than the shear. Let's say if you have gigantic long tzitzis and then it rips a little bit, then it's still 12 agudlin long. You still have four on top and eight loose on the bottom. So that is good, so no problem. But it means if some of the tzitzis rip to the extent that the strings are no longer so long, no longer 12 agudlin long, from the point where it comes out of the garment until the bottom, so then you have the ratio of gardume, that it's less than the sum. So Rabbi Nitzan requires two of the long strings should be bishleimusam. And the other two of the strings, even if they rip a little bit, as long as you have kimlo aniva, kidei aniva left on each of the other two strings, that would be sufficient. So kidei aniva, kidei aniva means like this: when you finish all of your pulleys, the top third part of the tzitzis, and then the strings are loose. From that point on, you have to have two strings should be complete on both sides. Our practice is that we keep separated the when we have the four long strings in, so we keep them separated the whole time from the top to the bottom. So we know, if a person knows how to make tzitzis, that's a common practice, that you keep the four separated on one side and the other four separated on the other side throughout. You don't keep on mixing up sometimes these four, sometimes the other four. There is no din like that. Shulchan says if you want, you can keep on switching which four you have on one side, which on the other side. But our practice, since the days of the 1500s, Shulchan writes, our practice is we always keep the four separate. So if you have, two strings are ripped, if you have three strings ripped on one side, then the tzitzis is really no good, because you don't have two strings, that are shlema. But if you have only two strings are ripped on one side, even if they're ripped all the way up to the knot, and it's just the Masha who left out of the knot. That's not enough for anything. But on the other side, all the four strings are Bishlam Nisam, so then you have a Kedei Anivo. The two that were ripped on this side, so then you have a Kedei Anivo left on the other side. If you have two strings ripped on one side, and one string ripped on the other side, all the way so high up towards the bottom knot, that you don't have enough left in that string to tie around all the other seven strings and make a knot against them, so then it's no good. It's no good. That's the definition of Kedei Anivo. There's enough thoughts from the Gemara that the neker, the hole where you pull the scissors through, shouldn't be too close to the edge, but then it's not called Al-Kanta Big Den, it's called Tachas Big Den. And it shouldn't be too far away from the edge, because then it's not on the top, it has to be close enough. So how close is too close? But the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, it should not be closer than the distance by an Adam Beinoni, an average size between the joint over here and the tip of the thumb, which is a little more than an inch, slightly more than an inch. So it shouldn't be closer than that. And it shouldn't be further away than 3 agudim, and 3 inches from the edge. And then it says, Shulchan Aruch, this is so both sideways and from the bottom. Right? Okay, this is my quarter of the garment, so I shouldn't have the hole too high up. Let's say if it's more than 3 inches up, I shouldn't have it more than 3 inches away from here. Should be not too close and not too far, not from this side and not from this side. Sometimes on the big talitim is too far. When you buy yourself a big talit to someone else when you get married, your wife buys you a talit or whatever, or my Baal Batim bought me a talit, so I used to be a rabbi in Israel, so they bought me a talit, and it was no good. I had to bring it back to the school. But the hole was too far, too close to the edge, and I have a too far you have. There is a din that comes up all the time in our accounts. If the hole was made originally, the tzitzit was made originally the hechsher, and then after using the talus of the talus cup for a long time, the hole ripped, the hole tore, and the tzitzit got closer to the edge. And now it's so close to the edge, it's within this distance, too close to the edge. But it's not that that's so good. That's okay. But since the tchilas asiyas tzitzit, it was the hechsher, even though now the neker, or let's say the garment, because you washed it so many times, so the material shrank. So now the hole is closer to the edge because the material shrank, but the hole is closer to the edge because the hole expanded. The hole ripped down a little bit. Just the hole ripped all the way down to the bottom and it fell off. And you can't just stick it back out. That's called tops of the lemon also. That's no good. But if the hole didn't rip all the way down to the bottom, just ripped too close to the bottom, then the Gemara says that's okay, but Gargum makes it. That's such. Shulchan Aruch has another din that l'chatchila you should see to it. Most people don't even ever heard this. L'chatchila should see to it that the tzitzit should be no tepes al hakeren. That the chutei hatzitzis should come out sideways from the garment. If we are at our compass, it's very clear. The chutei hatzitzis should be coming out sideways rather than hanging down. If you have little children, they always pull your talus, they always pull the tzitzis down, so you don't have to keep on pulling them up. And a talus is very harder to visualize which way is sideways, but you just use an ounce of brain and you figure it out. The chutei hatzitzis have to come out sideways from the beged and not downwards. 95 out of 100 people have the tzitzis the wrong way. And even those who have it the right way, most of them don't have it. Some are right, some are wrong. Hardly anybody knows this. I said, well, Hatzilah should be no test of all I care about. But the evidence is not, so it's also good. Hatzilah, but then we'll have to. Shulchan Aruch says that a person is permitted to borrow somebody else's talus even without his permission. That's on page 52. It's going to be assumed that Nichalei Leinish, the Nevi Mitzvah of Amoine, but it says you're permitted to borrow someone else's tefillin also. But why that you're going to wrap up your tefillin and fold up the talus again and put it back where it came from originally? With the one exception of Sparim, we assume that even if he didn't write, I don't give permission to anybody to borrow it, unless he writes explicitly, I do give permission. You assume that people are mocked, that they shouldn't use this one because they're going to get ripped up. So Shaila, whether this Mishnah Berurah writes that the people are not nizer on this, that people always use someone else's city or someone else's finish with that.
It's also very interesting. Those ones I can figure anyway. It's much more,
much more expensive.
But other blocks, it's much more borrowing.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Shaila, whether this still applies to Zman Hazan. But Swarm are so common, so this city rips, you go to a wedding get another city. You have somebody to do them in the house, so it's a big deal. Okay, we'll get a lot more. Maybe next week there's going to be a midterm. But it's going to be an easy, short midterm. Nothing, no great deal. So there's no reason why the midterm should take an hour and a half. So maybe we'll have a chutz shiur. Maybe we'll have a shiur in the morning, let's say a half an hour shiur or 40 minute shiur, and then you'll have the midterm after. Okay.
Story, it's not fair.
Let's stop this.